At 11 o'clock service, we're going to have a chance to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ that are leaving for Haiti on Saturday. 17 individuals going to Haiti, and in a month, we're going to have 12 individuals going to Guatemala. Members joining, baptisms. God is on the move at Rolling Plains. It's so great to be here at this church with you. Now, if you come today, you have come on the right day, because every single one of us needs a miracle in our life. We discovered that last week. We're in week 2 of our sermon series called Miracles, Making Your Impossible Possible. And I want to start off today with a question. One of the great questions of life, the greatest question that we have ever asked, and we constantly ask, does God order our footsteps even when they feel like missteps? Or are we blazing our own trail? Is God in charge? Is God in control? Even when life isn't going our way, are we still of the mind that God is in control and we're looking for evidence of God's presence and divine miracles everywhere we go? Well, a place where a lot of challenges and pain and heartache and heartbreak happen is in a hospital. And I want to share with you a story of one of our experiences with our daughter Isabel at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. This is where we take her for all of her surgeries. She was born with a rare genetic disorder called Apert syndrome. Many of you know that already. She's had about 16 different surgeries and numerous doctor's appointments at Cincinnati Children's. And on this particular day, she was going for another major surgery. And, you know, our hearts were aching for her. We were concerned for her. We were worried about her and praying that she'll be able to come out of the anesthesia, that it's not going to be affecting her too much, and that she won't be too sad or too disappointed. And so while when we arrived at the house, the craniofacial team leader lady, she approached us while we're out in the waiting room and said, "You will never believe this, but there is a boy by the name of Trent who was just born, and he was born with Apert syndrome. And they're here today, and he's having a surgery. And Mom and Dad are just beside themselves. They're so worried. They're heartsick. They're devastated. They don't know what to do. Would you be willing to talk to them?" It turns out that when Isabel's surgery was completed and we went back to the recovery room, she was waking up from anesthesia and she was really sad and scared and crying like she is from time to time when you wake up from anesthesia. And our heart was breaking for her. We were holding her. And that's when the craniofacial team came and said, "Hey, by the way, Trent's bed is right on the other side of this wall. Would you now have a chance to go talk to Mom?" And what a great experience it was for me to be able to walk around that curtain, to go to the other side of the wall, and to talk with Mom and to meet Trent for the very first time. Mom was in tears, and she was just in despair. I could just tell she was without hope. And I just started sharing with her about Isabel. I just started sharing with her about her challenges. I just started sharing with her about the surgeries that we've been through, and to say to her, it's going to be okay, that God has a plan. Eventually, I prayed with Mom, and I laid hands on baby Trent and prayed over him. And I remember walking away, and Mom actually smiled. She actually felt blessed. It looked like she had hope again. It looked like she was filled with joy. And sisters and brothers, I know that day that we were there because Isabel required a surgery, but I also know that God set up a divine appointment for us to be there because Trent was going to be there that day. Only God can set those kinds of things up. So when you ask me, does God order our footsteps? I have had too many opportunities and occasions in my life to know without a doubt the miracles around me that are evident that God does order our footsteps, even when we're living in challenging times, even when we're in the middle of a hospital. And what a blessing it was to be there that day, to be able to be with Mom and to be with Trent and to pray over him and to give her a hope and an understanding of a future because she could know God is in control. You know, there are no coincidences. There are only providences, or I call them God incidences. There are no accidents, only divine appointments. And it's all a part of this great life, this great dance designed by God. And so when tragedy strikes and we ask the question, where was God? We have to realize that God is about to do a miracle. Did you know that tragedies and problems and struggles are prerequisites for God's miracles? And the more tragedies and challenges and trials and problems you have, the more miracles you have. So if you come here with a whole lot of problems, you better get ready for a whole lot of miracles, sisters and brothers, because that's the God that we serve. I just came by here to tell you that today. That's the God that we serve. And no, God does not cause Apert syndrome, nor does God cause the cancer in my mom's life. But I know that my daughter Isabel and I know my mom Karen Alice are both in his hands, all of the same. I've seen too many signs and too many miracles to know that God is still at work even when things don't go our way. And here's the truest test of faith, and this is worth the price of admission today, although you didn't pay too much to be here today. You got up a little earlier than maybe you wanted to, okay? The truest test of faith, write this down, isn't our actions. The truest test of faith is our reactions. It's how we react to the stuff that happens in our life. It's how we react to Apert syndrome and cancer and the knowledge that we've lost a loved one or illnesses or sicknesses or challenges or broken relationships. It's the reactions to the stuff of life that shows our faith. Is it a trial? And in that trial, is that trial an accident or is it a divine appointment? It depends on your reaction. It depends on your reaction. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? He was sold into slavery by his brothers. Potiphar's wife, basically nailed him to the cross and had him cast away into prison because she claimed that he did things that he didn't do. And so he was sold into slavery and wrongfully imprisoned. And it would be easy for him to sit back and say, God, why did you do that? But God didn't do that. Joseph's brothers were the ones that sold him into slavery. Potiphar's wife was the one that framed him and threw him into jail, into prison. And so it's Joseph's reaction that reveals his faith. Watch his reaction in the book of Genesis in chapter 50, verse 20. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Would you say that he had great faith? You bet he did, considering he was saying that from a jail cell. And so it's our reactions to our circumstances that are proof of our faith, not always just our actions. And the question is, when we look at our life, are they accidents or divine appointments? If you think the things that happen in your life happen by chance or accidents, you'll never experience miracles. You will never experience miracles because you will justify them away as an accident. But when you experience miracles, you will recognize divine appointments because it depends on your reaction. Everything in our life, God has a plan for, and God is able to redeem even the worst trials and challenges. And that's because you need to realize this about how God created you. You need to know that you go nowhere by accident. There are no accidents. You go nowhere by accident. I love what Dr. Richard Halverson, a former Senate chaplain here in the United States of America on Capitol Hill, says. He says, "You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are." You need to hear that last piece again. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you right where you are. Lauren Anderson once gave me a note, and I have it pasted to my computer in my office. It says, "You are where I have placed you. You are where I have placed you." Because oftentimes we question our circumstances. We question our surroundings. We wonder if it's an accident or a mistake. And that tells us that no, it's God's incidences in our life. There are no coincidences, only God incidences, only divine appointments. And so we need to slow down and not be in such a hurry. Because when we miss the miracles around us because we're wishing away our circumstances. God has you right where he has you right now because he wants to work a miracle along the way in your life. So we're looking at the book of John. We're looking at seven miracles in the book of John over the course of 7 weeks. We talked about him turning water into wine last week. And today we want to talk about the royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum with a fever. And Jesus heals him from 20 miles away. And it is the response of the royal official who shows an extreme amount of faith. It's his reaction, not his action, as he seeks Jesus Christ for a miracle. And I want to remind you, this isn't a sermon series about seeking miracles. This is a sermon series about seeking the only one who can provide you miracles in your life. Let's pick it up in John chapter 4, verse 46. If you have a Bible, you want to open that up, that'd be great. It'll be up on the screen. Or you can look at your sermon notes in your bulletin. It says, Jesus once more had visited Cana, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." On his way home, the royal official discovers that indeed his son had been healed and provided for. You see, the first miracle we talked about last week was how Jesus turned water into wine, and that revealed that nothing was too small. I mean, if God is going to care about somebody's wedding, and if he's going to care about them running out of wine at a wedding, then there's nothing in our life that is too small and off of God's mind for our life. And if that's the case for what God taught us about that miracle, this miracle is going to reveal to us and teach us that there is no distance too far for God to bring healing into our life. There is no distance. God is not limited by space and time. He's not limited by distance. Jesus heals from 20 miles away, and in the process, he shows off his mastery over time and space. And the catalyst in this miracle is a divine appointment between unlikely candidates. A divine appointment between unlikely candidates. And if you meet the right person in the right place at the right time, you may have no other explanation than to know that God is setting you up. And I knew that right away when the craniofacial team came to me that day when Isabel's having surgery. And they said, Trent is here. He has Apert's. Mom needs somebody to talk to. I knew in that moment it wasn't an accident. I knew without a doubt that that was God setting him up, setting me up, setting up our family to have a divine appointment. To have a powerful encounter. You know, the royal official was a part of the Roman Empire. And this royal official within the Roman Empire and the government there was asking a Jewish rabbi for help. He, as a matter of fact, calls him sir. That would have been unheard of. Unheard of that the royal official would call this Jewish rabbi sir. And in doing so, he goes to Jesus. He bows down to Jesus' healing power and his authority. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who, by the way, outdoes the authority of the earthly king. This royal official didn't go to the king there in Rome. No, he went to the heavenly king. He went to Jesus Christ for healing. And I love it when Jesus says to him, listen, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the question for us today is, do we see signs and wonders? Did you know it's the signs, it's the wonders, it's the miracles of God that display his authenticity? You know, miracles prove that God is God. And in that process, in that life experience, we understand and know just how awesome God's power is. When you experience a miracle, it is a divine collision of God's power and God's compassion exacted upon his creation in order to receive his own glory and his just due glory. That's what miracles are. So here's the question. Do you see signs and wonders? And if you do, Jesus said, then you will find yourself believing. Do you see signs and wonders? You got to remind yourself today that there's just nothing that's outside of the scope of God's care. Nothing is outside of the scope of his care. Not even the fever of the son of a worried father is outside of the scope of God's care. That is on his mind. And if God cares about that, God is going to care about every minute detail of his creation, every minute detail of your life. If he cares about a wedding running out of wine, if God cares about a fever 20 miles away, then there isn't anything in your life that's too small. Because a lot of times we just think that God cares about the big stuff. I mean, God is a busy God. You know, God's got lepers to heal, and he's got blind to heal, and he's got cancer to cure, and the loss of a loved one. And we think, a fever, can we pray for that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing is too small to bring to God. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? This is in God's word. The author Matthew writes this in chapter 10. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are worth more than many sparrows. Now, I don't want to anger those that love PETA or are part of PETA. I might get a letter in the mail from PETA on this one. But you need to understand this. You are more important than a bird. And if God loves a bird and cares for a bird, guess what he's going to do for you? He's going to do so much more. I mean, birds, they don't have to worry about anything, what his God is saying. And he says, you are worth more than many sparrows. You are my creation. I gave you a soul. I gave you a purpose. You are a human being. You are a man. You are a woman. And you are going to get cared for. Because if God can care for his animal creation in this way, then he's going to create and care for that much more of his godly human creation. No matter how challenging life gets, we can live with the holy confidence that God cares, that he's active, and that he is absolutely able, and he's working a plan for good, one that's probably greater than we can possibly see in our life right now. But you're not living in an accident right now. You know, you're not living by chance. God does order our steps, and God does guide us, because God is not limited by time and space. God is not limited by time and space. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. That means his power. Omnipotent means his power is like none other. His omnipresence means that he does not know time. He does not know space. He just exists. Now, we can only be in one place at one time, so that kind of blows our minds. love watching my son play basketball. Austin just is doing such a great job at basketball. I'm proud of him. He works so hard. He's practicing every day. And I just hate missing one of his games, especially a home game. But man, there's oftentimes a meeting happening at church. We got this going on for the girls, and then we got a basketball game going on. And oh my goodness, I would just like to clone myself sometimes. Am I talking to the right people here today? I mean, yeah, you got a busy work schedule, you got a game that you want to go to, you got family stuff, and you just wish you could be cloned sometimes. You just wish there could be two of you, that you could be in multiple places at once. But we know that we can't. We know that we're not wired that way. We just know that that's not humanly possible. And that's one of the reasons why we struggle to believe God for miracles. Because we're worshiping a God who has characteristics and qualities and powers we don't. God is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. You're not. And neither am I. And so we assume that God is subject to the same laws of nature that we are, but you got to be reminded up in here today that you serve a God who is connected to everything in the universe, at all places, at all times, regardless of distance. It's all in His hands. It is all in His hands. Praise be to God. And this second miracle, He shows off His power. He shows off His power that for God, there is no past, there is no present, there is no future, there is no here nor there. There's just God and His presence and His great work. And so when we pray, our prayers, they exit this four-dimensional space-time continuum. And then we realize that, well, God doesn't know any space or any time. And it goes into God's realm, God's work. And we never really know exactly when it's going to re-enter the atmosphere of our life. But God does. So because of that, you can pray for anyone. You can pray for anywhere, any person, at any time. And it's never going to be too big for God. How else do you explain a raggedy guy like me coming from Dayton, Ohio, hooking up with a girl, beautiful woman from Cleveland in Ocean City, New Jersey? I mean, how do you explain that kind of stuff? I mean, you're looking at God and thinking, God, if you wanted to have some more energy and strength about this whole thing, or you wanted to make it easier on yourself, just have us hook up in Columbus. It's halfway between Cleveland and Dayton. But no, God had us meet and find one another, companions for the rest of our life, in Ocean City, New Jersey in 1995 on a stateside summer project with Campus Crusade for Christ. Who does that? God does. How can you experience stuff like that or hear stories like that and not believe that God isn't present, that God isn't at work in our lives? God works and organizes our footsteps. He puts us in the right place at the right time. And consider the prayers of these two families, a family up in Cleveland praying for their daughter's future husband and a family from Dayton praying for their husband's future wife. Their son's future wife. Their son's future wife. Yeah. Praying for their son's future wife, hundreds of miles away. And God brings the answer to those prayers out in New Jersey, of all places. I mean, why not the Holy Land? Why not the Horseshoe or something like that? I mean, in Columbus. Come on. You know, in my personal experiences, the stories I've shared with you through meeting Aaron and our experiences at the hospital at Cincinnati Children's and through this royal official's experiences, we should know that God's timing is perfect. But you want to know what? I don't even need to share those stories because you have them in your life. You have stories where you know that God's timing is perfect. You know that miracles rarely happen on our timeline. And that's one of the painful parts of life, is that they happen on God's timeline, but you can trust in the process while you're waiting that God is never too late. He's never too early. God is always right on time. We just wish that the airlines would be godly. Wouldn't we? We just wish that the airlines would be godly. I just want to share with you today that it also takes some work on our part, and that's exactly what that royal official experienced. We may need to take a hike for our miracles. We may need to take a hike for our miracles. We may need to invest some sweat equity into this thing. We may need to work at it. What do you think? Let's look at John chapter 4, continuing that story in verse 50. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son, he will live." So he and his whole household believed. You ever have those moments where someone, you know, God just puts somebody on your heart and you just start praying for them? You have no idea why, and you kind of check your watch out. And then 3 days later, that person comes to you and just says, out of the blue, just says, "Hey, man, I was, you know, you guys, hey, how are you doing?" I said, "Man, I had a rough day a couple days ago. I was going through this, this, and that." And you say, well, what time was that? It was about 3 o'clock. And you looked at your watch that day, and it was about 3 o'clock. I mean, has God ever done stuff like that for you? It's happened in my life where God just put somebody on your heart. They're going through something 20 miles away, 2 hours away. You have no idea what it is, but you're just led to pray for them. And then you discovered that your prayer coincided with God's miracle in their life or that challenging experience that they were going through. It's kind of a deja vu moment. And that's exactly what this royal official is experiencing here. But he did that because he makes a 20-mile hike from Capernaum to Cana. And in order to do that, it took a lot of work. It took a lot of sweat equity. It took a lot of calories to be burned to go see God work a miracle in his life. And some miracles, they take sweat equity. Now, your effort is not going to make a miracle happen, but your lack of effort may keep them from happening in your life. You can't earn a miracle, just like you can't work for grace. Those things are given to you. But your efforts and your actions are still part of the equation. And it is this work and this effort that may be the catalyst for a miracle, as it was for this royal official. So Aaron and I met out in Ocean City, New Jersey, but it took months worth of me driving 160 miles up to Cleveland or 100 or so miles to Dayton to meet at my folks' house and meet her there, or to hang out on the weekend at her folks' house up there. And we did that for months. And it was blood, sweat, and a lot of tears because I discovered Cleveland winters. And I think I almost died on the roads a couple times going up there and back. It was crazy. But it took our work. We had to work at it. And are you willing to drive 300 miles for your miracle? Are you willing to fill 6 stone jars? That's what the servants had to do in order to experience God turning water into wine. Are you willing to walk 20 miles to have those things be the catalyst for your miracle? The royal official, well, he was willing to do those things. See, most of us follow Jesus to the point of inconvenience. And once we get to the point of inconvenience, we don't follow him any further. And the royal official teaches us that to experience a miracle, we may have to go out of our way from time to time. And we can't wait for that miracle to come to us. We can't wait for that miracle to come to us. We've got to work at it. You've got to work like it depends on you. And you've got to pray like it depends on God. It may mean walking or driving the extra mile. It may mean making every effort to get next to the healing power of Jesus. In other words, we're not searching for a miracle. We're trying to get as close as we can to our relationship with Christ. And in order to do that from time to time, it takes sacrifice and it takes work. Look at the hemorrhaging woman, the bleeding woman in Scripture. What does she do in order to get near Jesus? The Bible tells us she does what with the crowd? Get out of the way, you know, fighting through the crowds. I mean, she's trying to get to the front of the line. And this is like, you know, 7,000 people standing in line at the Beast of Kings Island. And she's got to go line jump and push people out of the way. I mean, she's working hard. She's getting up to the front of the line. She's getting herself to Jesus. And so much so, the crowd is so tight that Jesus can feel her bump up against him. And when she does, he feels the power leave his body and heal her. Why? Because she worked to get into close proximity of Jesus. She didn't work for a miracle. She worked to get close to Christ. And when you work to get close to Christ, that's when the miracles always follow. How about the 4 friends that took the invalid, the paralytic, and hauled him up to a roof, dug a hole, and took him down to meet Jesus? They got him close to Jesus, and it took a lot of work to dig a hole in that roof. It also took a lot of work to come back the next day and patch the guy's roof when they were done. It took a lot of work to get close to Jesus, but guess what? It was worth it, because when you get close to Christ, miracles always follow. You're going to have to work like it depends on you and pray like it depends on God. Are you willing to walk to Cana for your miracle? And when you do, you got to keep praying. You know, in The Circle Maker, which was a book that we read a couple years ago as a church, and then the follow-up to that, Draw the Circle, both by Mark Batterson. I want to encourage you to read both of them. Actually, this sermon series is inspired by another Mark Batterson book called The Grave Robber. And in these books, we've discovered a new language for prayer around circling the promises of God in prayer until God delivers. And so that means if we're going to pray until God delivers, it's going to be hard, because praying hard is hard. You got to pray long. You got to pray blood, sweat, and tears and not give up in the process. It means circling Jericho until the walls of Jericho fall like they did for Joshua and his troops. In Philippians, it tells us what kind of prayer we need to pray. In chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in all things, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, "Pray continually." So he's saying, in everything and at all times, pray. Pray again and again. Don't stop one prayer short of a miracle because you get discouraged. Don't stop praying because you get tired or you feel like a failure. You may need to prayer walk your house. You may need to walk around work and pray around work or pray around your school for his miracle, if I added up all of the prayer walks that I personally made here at Rolling Plains Church, around the outside of the buildings, in this sanctuary, did you know that these chairs are prayed over every single Sunday before you even get here? If I added up all the miles that I prayer walked in, prayer walking in the Bethel, Lower Putnam neighborhood, and then prayer walking up on Putnam Hill and other places, and at Maysville schools with teams of people, I don't know if it's going to add up to 20 miles or not. But I'm here to tell you, as a result, I've experienced 20 miles worth of miracles. 20 miles worth of miracles of God working in powerful ways in this place and in this church. And I'm not going to stop prayer walking. Well, I mean, what do you think it was that the royal official was doing while he was walking the 20 miles to Cana? What do you think he was doing? Texting? He was praying. He was praying. He was prayer walking. He was praying while he was walking. That's what prayer walking is. He was working to get in close proximity to God, and he was praying while he was walking. He was praying for healing for his son. He was praying that he would have a God encounter. He was praying for a miracle. And he reminds us to not stop praying until we get it. To not stop praying until we get there, till we get to Jesus. And Jesus shows us what he's about to do. Don't ever stop praying for a miracle that you know God wants to deliver. Claim it and own it. Claim God's promises and follow Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, if you follow him far enough and long enough and you pray hard enough, you're going to experience a miracle from time to time. But here's the deal about your miracle. Your miracle may seem distant right now because God is waiting for you to take a 20-mile prayer walk. He's waiting for you to take a trip to Cana. And oh, by the way, you may need to visit Cana from time to time. That's what Jesus did. Think about this for a second. In John chapter 4, verse 46, I want to go back there. At the beginning of this story of the healing of this royal official's son, it says, once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. Watch this now. Watch this now. This is a while ago prior. Jesus had turned water into wine. Where did he do that? It said at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And that's where he was for that. Now, the second miracle, the next miracle that comes along in the book of John, it says, once more he visited Cana in Galilee. The second miracle happens just down the street from the first one. There are no coincidences, only God incidences. And there are certain places in your life and in mine where God just seems to show up in powerful and miraculous ways. Evidently, the Spirit of God was moving in Cana. It was moving in Cana. And I know one of those places for us where the Spirit of God just seems to move. It might be a quirky place. It might be a place where you think that's filled with sadness and sorrow and tears. And you think, well, why would God just continually be moving there? But for me, and I know for Aaron in some part too, it's Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Cincinnati Children's Hospital happens to be Cana for us because we have witnessed too many divine appointments, too many miracles, too much of God's work, too much of his wonders happening at that hospital. And every time we go, our hearts are broken because Isabel has to have another surgery. But every time we go, God lifts our spirit, he grows our faith, and he sets up divine appointments everywhere. I've already shared with you the story about Trent. But on another occasion while we were there, I was down in the pharmacy. I was getting some drugs for Isabel before we left. And I was standing behind a woman who had just broken down in tears right there in the pharmacy. I asked her what was going on. She said, my son just came in with a gunshot wound. They don't know if he's going to last. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just need God to take over. I need a sign from God. And I said, well, how about you talking to a preacher who's standing right behind you in line, who's ready to pray with you about anything? And I said, let's step out of line. Let's go outside. We stepped out into the hallway. We prayed. And I could see her hope meter go from the floor all the way to the ceiling. It's God's divine appointments. I didn't do that. How could I do that? How does a God arrange for two people to meet in Jersey that are from Dayton and Cleveland? How does God arrange for a pastor to be standing behind a woman who's in crisis in the middle of a hospital? Well, part of it is because that man just happens to have a daughter who has aprons, and he's there on a regular basis. And God just works miracles. I'm here to tell you, when we pull into the garage, the parking garage that's underneath the hospital, we rise up out of that elevator, we step out onto the first floor. It is like the Spirit of God and his angels just descend upon my spirit and my heart. I just feel the presence of God in that place. And I can't tell you, there's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of heartache. There's been a lot of trials there. But it doesn't matter about all of your actions all the time. What matters is your reactions. Do you see accidents or do you see divine appointments? Do you see miracles or do you see happenstance? God will meet you there if you're willing to see miracles. And God will set up divine appointments for you because I know he does for me. So every time we go to the hospital, you know, our hearts are broken for another surgery, but our spirits are lifted because it happens to be our Cana. And God sets up more divine appointments. It's a place of healing in so many ways. And every time we return, our faith gets recharged. I bet King David, from time to time, went back to the Valley of Elah, where he took down the giant. I bet from time to time, Moses retraces his steps to the burning bush. What do you think? I bet from time to time Lazarus put fresh flowers on the gravesite that he lay dead in for a couple days. Think about that for a second. I bet Joshua and some of his leaders returned to the Jordan River in the mouth of Jericho, where the walls lay in ruin from time to time, to be reminded of what God has done, but also because those are places where God just seems to revive a soul and to help them see his miracles all over again. When we lose our way, when our faith starts to wane, all we need is to see God's power at work again. And that may mean we need to go back to Cana. It may mean we need to go back to the burning bush, go back to the hospital, go back to New Jersey. We've been to the hospital before, but I'm praying one day that Aaron and I'll have a chance to return to Ocean City, New Jersey, where we first met, and watch what kind of miracles and divine appointments God has set up for us there as well. Where is your Cana? Where is it you need to make a spiritual pilgrimage to, or a visit to recharge your faith? You see, there are no coincidences, only divine appointments, only God incidences, and those things are catalysts to miracles, and they take our effort. It means we got to pray hard, and we got to seek Jesus, because Jesus is the great miracle worker. And if we pray long enough and far enough and follow him hard enough in the process, we're going to find ourselves in the middle of a miracle or two. And I want to give you a couple of action steps. And number one is you got to watch for divine appointments. You got to watch and open up your eyes for divine appointments. They're all around you. It's a matter of not your actions in that moment, but your reactions. How are you going to react to the stuff going on in your life? Will you see them as accidents or divine appointments? Number two, start prayer walking. Do a 20-mile prayer walk somewhere or in some place. Circle your property. Circle the school. Circle your place of work, wherever it is you need, the hospital that your loved one is in. Number three, take a road trip to Cana. You know what your Cana is. Probably jumped into your heart as soon as I shared my story about where ours is. Take a road trip to Cana. You know, one of the things that I'm realizing about my mom right now is that she has cancer, and a stage one cancer, lymphoma, and she's dealing with that in Dayton, and there's times where I just want to be with her, and I know I can't physically, but God reminds me that he knows no time, he knows no space, and my prayers here are with her in Dayton. The other thing I realize is that whenever we talk on the phone, she's never complaining. She's not concerned very much. She's got this great faith, and here's why. Because she talks about all the divine appointments she experiences when she goes to the hospital. She talks about the fact that the head oncology nurse that's been seeing her happens to be in her life group at the church that she goes to. She happens to mention that all of the nurses and staff, every time she goes in for radiation and soon chemotherapy, there's people there that know Jesus and are praying with her and encouraging her. And she says only God can do things like that. In the middle of battling cancer, you see, it's not about your actions, it's about your reactions. It's about realizing that there are no accidents, only divine appointments, and that's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to do in your life. Praise be to God. Praise be to God.